Hello, it feels so good to be back. I am Selena Justine, and welcome to my new show, Blissfully Ever After, A Gal's Guide to Life, aka GGTL. In this podcast, you and I are going to navigate the exciting transition into the next chapter of our lives, from faith to marriage, my goodness, to babies. We are going to cover it all. Together, we're going to toast to this next chapter. So cheers to today's dose of inspiration. Hey guys, welcome back. Our guest today is Don Kaspersky. Don is a wonderful leader at our church here in Florida and has been a small group leader of mine for years. She is here to give us insight into the day in the life of a Proverbs 31 woman. Don is a wife, a mother, an author, and a ministry leader. She and her husband have actually even started a new ministry called The Warehouse, which brings Christianity into everyday life with a cafe, Bible studies, gathering places, and more. She and I dive into the scripture and even talk about realistic versus unrealistic expectations when it comes to dating and marriage. Enjoy this conversation with Dawn and me. And before we start, we're going to go ahead and open up in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today and thank you for your inspiration to us as women, wives, mothers. And we just ask that you'll be with us on this call today. Help everyone understand how you created them, who you created them to be, and the way that we should go. You have put in your word some guides for us, and we follow those wholly. We look to you for all truth in these matters, and we praise you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, that was so beautiful. Well, Dawn, you are just like one of the many women I look up to, and I've always viewed you as just kind of like, yeah, like a mentor. And I've been a lot in a lot of your small groups, and so you've just been a wonderful leader at the church. So those listening, for our church, and you've just been wonderful. So thank you for always being around, and you're welcome. And just your insight on everything has been wonderful. So today, what I wanted to bring you onto the podcast for was to really talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. Yes. And definitely when I see you, I see that, and you just kind of very much embody that. And so I wanted to talk about kind of like the day in the life of a Proverbs 31 woman and just go into the depth of scripture and just to kind of go back to like what you said during the prayer of God's word and God's design. Yeah. And how he has created us women to play this beautiful role, and that it is such a, gosh, it's such an honor to be in that position.
You know? It is an honor. And I really embrace the way God created us as women. And when we embrace our femininity, I think we are happiest because we are created in his image in a certain way as women. The best parts of us as women are created after God himself. So I love when those shine out and we can embrace that as women and be excited about that position in our lives and help others to be that too. I think today in society, there's some confusion about that. And I think that we need to celebrate who we are as women and highlight that and be the best version of who God created us to be.
I agree with that, because even for the time that I was kind of living for the world, like I didn't really even begin to understand the essence and the beauty. And like, honestly, like I say this in a good way, like the responsibility that we have. And now that I get to see it through God's eyes, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is just, it's like a cool club to be part of.
It is. I love it.
Yeah. So let's go ahead. And I have my Bible here. I saw yours as well. If you want to go ahead, and I have the Passion Translation. I'm not sure which translation yours is.
I have the ESV.
Okay. So yeah.
Do you want me to read?
Yeah, go ahead and okay. Go ahead. Let's just, read that scripture, Proverbs 31, 10 to 31.
Okay, yes, we're going to start with 10. So the title is The Woman Who Fears the Lord. So isn't that interesting how he puts that right as the title? As number 10 says, an excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands to hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to merchants. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. So actually, cool. You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you want me to read it from the NLT?
If you're feeling called to, I was going to say that was really good. Mine, the title of it is The Radiant Bride, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
What are you thinking of the other one?
Well, I just like the part two where it says her children rise and call her blessed.
Yeah, go ahead and grab that.
You know, I love the part that says her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Mm-hmm. And I love that part because really the public declaration of praise just comes from being who you are. People can see who you are when you stand in your calling and you are who God created you to be. It stands out and people can see without having to say anything about it.
Your presence says enough. You don't have to, it speaks for itself, right? Almost. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Confidence. Yes.
So let's go ahead and let's break down those qualities and those characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman that you just met.
Okay. Yeah. Some of the things that I picked out of there is that stands out to me is really a woman's character. Mm-hmm. You know, that is something that, like we were talking about, stands out of who she is before a word is even said about her. You can see the way she acts and carries herself, her character. And that is something that this is talking about. The whole passage encompasses the character of a woman. A couple other things that I found in here, a diligent work ethic. You know, we as women, I think we tend to take on a lot, but when we work at things diligently, we can see our accomplishments come through. It shows that we are wise, and we have honorable speech is another thing that this is talking about. I love the verse that talks about the woman that uplifts her husband.
Yeah.
You know, our speech is honorable, and there's another proverb. Let's see, it's 14:1, where it says, a wise woman builds her house up and doesn't tear it down. So these two versus complement each other, because when we're speaking wisely about our husbands and lifting them up, we're also lifting up ourselves and our household. And, you know, I think it's helpful for others to see how it strengthens our marriage when we build each other up instead of tear each other down, because we're part of the same body. We're part of the same household. And so if we're tearing our husbands down and complaining about them, then we're tearing apart our own family and our own household. And I think that's not a good example. But when we're building up our spouses and our mates and our children and our families, we're building up our house and we're planting seeds of a whole family. And we're calling in, you know, our words matter so much. We're calling in the things that we want instead of tearing down our families. So,
yeah, that's good. And I'm looking at my translation, it says, her husband has, this is, let's see, verse 11. Her husband has entrusted his heart to her, for she brings him the rich spoils of victory. All throughout her life, she brings him what is good and not evil.
Yes.
And let's see.
And mine says her husband can trust her and she will greatly enrich his life. So isn't that great that a man could be confident in his wife, that she's there to support him? I think that's another thing about marriage in the Proverbs 31 woman. She is there as a support for her husband. And that also reminds me of one of my favorite verses, Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, where it's talking about partnership in relationship and how one can hold the other one up or lift them up when they fall down. And I think that's the way it should be in marriage. Your partners first in marriage, helping each other all along the way. And so I think that goes along with, you know, building them up as well. If they're standing tall, you're standing tall with them.
Right. I think it definitely goes back. I know, well, I think this is where it even comes from, is us being their helpmeet. Yes. And I remember when Rhett and I first met, this was like our first conversation ever. And this is months ago. And he said, we were on the beach and having this long convo. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, what a man looks for in a woman is, does she bring me peace? Mm. And I remember hearing that. And he just said it so simply. And I had never heard it that way before. And fast forward to now, obviously, you know, we're in a beautiful, serious relationship. And I think back to that often. He brings that up often of like, yeah, like you just bring this peace. And then even, I can even see it for like his parents, like how his mom brings his dad peace, and you feel it in the household. You feel it in my household. And that goes back to even like a woman makes a house a home, because we flood it with that peace and that joy.
Right.
And I mean, men are out there. They go through a lot. Not that we don't, but they work hard. They go through things like, you know, the world tries to really chew them up and just spit them right out. So they want to come home to feel like we're on their winning team. We're on their side. We're there to encourage them. And so if we're tearing them down, it's like, then it's like they have no safe refuge to go.
Right.
And so we really hold that responsibility to just love on them. Yes. And it makes them want to go out even more and like work harder. You know, it's just, it's such a beautiful recipe by design. Right.
And it's funny because I was just reading Proverbs the other day, just the whole entire book. And yeah. I was surprised just in one sitting, reading the whole thing through, how much it says in there that if a man has a squabbling wife, a quarreling wife, a complaining wife, he should put her in the field, put her on the roof, not have her in the home. So that right there tells me, I didn't realize how many times it was in there. And every time I read it, I was like, wow, this is in here a lot. So really, we want to be a respite for our husbands to come home to, not a complaining, quarreling, nagging wife. Right. So, and one of the most important things that a man wants is respect. Mm-hmm. So when we're respectful of their decisions, their job, the person that they are, and the things that they see and the visions that they have, and supportive of them, whether we always are 100% in support or not, we need to show support and talk things through and support them in, you know, their endeavors. And I think that is what respect is about.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up, actually. I think this would be a really good segue into, let's talk about, oh my gosh, I'm totally blanking on the word, submission. Mm. I think that is another thing that going to the true description of it through the word is like, again, it's a beautiful responsibility that we get to have and partake in, but something that the world has definitely twisted and make it seem like this horrible thing.
Right.
So let's talk about that, because that's definitely part of respect.
Yes. Well, submission does not mean being a doormat. Submission means working in partnership with your spouse and not taking control of something and overpowering them to get your way and to have, you know, your mindset come into fruition. It's submission is working with your partner, listening to both sides of the story, taking his viewpoint into perspective, looking at your viewpoint, communicating about what would be best, and then ultimately realizing that spiritual guidance is really the man's responsibility in the home, and he is the man of the house, and helping him with his ideas. Many times, you know, Ron will have an idea of something and I might think, oh, I'm not so sure about that. But when I step back and look at both sides of it and support him in with what he wants to do, I realize, well, that was a great idea. Wow. And we're working together in this and I'm supporting him in it. So it doesn't mean become a doormat and just saying yes to everything, but communicating and looking at all sides of things and helping them understand, helping you understand their perspective and working together on things.
Yeah, that's a great breakdown. That actually reminds me, there's a woman in one of my small groups, and she had just recently shared that, okay, so she's married and they have a son together. They have a son. And she said that they were attending this church for years and they just absolutely loved it. They were very involved and everything. And she said that the Holy Spirit had told her it's time to go to this other church. And she said, okay. And she kept, it was just pressing on her heart for years. Wow. Literally, she said 2 years. But she really entrusted her husband in knowing that he's the spiritual leader of the house. So she was waiting. She goes, okay, Lord, but you need to, like, he needs to be the one to lead this.
Yeah.
And so she just kind of quietly waited and trusted. And anyway, so fast forward, then she, her husband, and their son, they were in the car leaving that previous church. They were talking about the service and how great it was. And then they were all just praying the Spirit. And so the mom, she goes, all right. So, like, you know, like, all right, boys, like, what's the Lord speaking? And they said, hey, I think it's time we ought to go to this other church. And she just had the biggest smile on her face because she's like, the day had finally come. And that's when she said, she goes, yes, like, the Lord has put that in my heart and I want it to wait until, you know, I heard it from you guys. Yes. And so that was such a cool story, at least for me. Mm-hmm. She just told me this a couple weeks ago. And I thought, that is such a tangible way of viewing submission. And even though, of course, the Lord speaks to us as much as them, mm-hmm. it's not that, but it's still having that respect. And also that's putting trust in the Father, knowing, like, okay, he's going to tell him, of course, you know? And so, yeah.
Right. And I, you know, that same scenario happened to us with the church, the same situation. It was several months that I was praying and asking the Lord, well, I feel like we need to go to this church, but you need to tell him. So I think enlisting the help of the Lord is perfect, because it works out. If it's his will, it comes into fruition. If it's not, and it's just one of my own desires, then, you know, it works out when the Lord is in charge, when we put our trust and faith in him, that he will direct our paths and make a way for us to go and talk to our husband. And ultimately, we want our husbands to hear from the Lord anyways, because, you know, like I said, are we always right? It's better to come from the Lord if that's his will than from us. But that also reminds me of the story of Sarah and Abraham when they wanted to have children. You know, Sarah was the one that got ahead of the Lord and said, okay, well, here, take one of my maidservants. Let's have a family through her. And look what a disaster that turned out to be. So do we want to get ahead of the Lord? And maybe something, you know, that we want or would be good for our family, let's just wait and hear from the Lord and pray about it and see how he directs our spouse in that. And when you have faith, you know that the Lord is going to direct their steps. And I can't tell you how many times that has happened in our relationship. And I'm sure it goes the other way too. Ron prays about different things for me to come into, you know, the light and say, okay, yeah, I think that's a good idea. So it's really a partnership that you're working with. Each person has their own viewpoints. Mm-hmm. And you want to give time and room and space for those viewpoints to come together, and enlisting the Lord to help is the best way to do it.
Definitely. Yeah. Because I think somebody maybe hearing that story that I just gave, that example, I wonder if someone might be thinking, oh, well, maybe she was being disobedient by not doing what the Holy Spirit prompted her. But I think there is, like what you just said, there's also that discernment of putting that trust in that situation and waiting to hear and talk to it, discuss it as a family when the time is right, instead of doing it prematurely like Sarah had did.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. And I'm curious, is there anything, like when you were, so prior to you being married with Ron, was there ever like a mentor that you had, or really what kind of shaped you into understanding really the role of a Proverbs 31 woman?
I don't know. I had a relationship with the Lord as a young woman. And then, you know, I kind of grew apart a little bit for a while. But when I started to come back, I realized that I wanted the Lord to be a part of my life and everyday life. And I wanted to look for somebody that matched that, a man that was also putting the Lord first in his life. And I would say, you know, my own parents were together forever until my dad passed years ago. But I saw the things that they went through, and they went through, you know, some rough times and some tumultuous times, but they stuck it out and they worked it out. So I think that was a role model for me to realize it's not always going to be easy, but if you stick it out and if you have the Lord working with you through it, you can get through tough times.
Definitely. Can I ask you to give some personal examples of how you've applied the qualities we had mentioned, like into your own life and your marriage?
Yes. You know, we have three children that we raised through all kinds of circumstances. We homeschooled our children for many years, and I just felt like that was my job as a wife and mother to work with the children and be at home. But I also had a side business. I was in real estate, so I sold real estate on the side. So I kind of worked around my family, and I felt like my most important job, though, was my family, and I put them first. So what I did on the side for real estate just complemented my role as a wife and a mother. And I actually really, really loved it. I mean, nothing satisfied me more than to be in the role of wife and mother. I mean, I really loved it. And raising kids, you know, there were hard times, but the most joyous times as well. So, it's just working through the different situations that come up and leaning on the Lord and working with your spouse, I know there would be many times that we would pray together through things and situations that came up.
Yeah, I remember in a conversation you and I had months ago, you had said that in your beginning of your relationship with Ron, that it was kind of awkward to pray together in the very beginning,
yeah.
Which I think is so wild to even think about, because when I see you two, you guys are like such a powerful couple for the kingdom. You yeah. guys are like casting demons out now. So it's so wild to think that there was once a time that it must have felt a little foreign. So what was that like? And what was that transition like to being from then to where you are now?
Well, we each had our own individual relationships with God in the beginning, and we might have been on different pages, but we always attended church together, and we always, watched different spiritual programming on church together, and we would discuss it. But it wasn't till years down the road that we were able to start to pray together. But I would bring it up. I would say, well, let's pray about that. And at first he was kind of like, okay. And he would just come in and say a small prayer with me. But as time went on, we just got more comfortable with it and really moving to this area as well. I think there was a transition, but we've been married for almost 30 years. And so what I want to say is that your relationship in the beginning is so different than how it can turn out in the end. If you just stick with it and work with it, you both grow as individuals. And I think that's one thing that I love to see about a new relationship. It gets me so excited to see, like, oh, look at them now. And I would love to see them how many years down the road and see who they've become and grown into. You can grow together. And I don't like when people say, oh, well, we've grown apart. No, you can grow together. Mm-hmm. If you're working with one another and supporting with one another throughout life, you can grow together. And definitely personalities change, things change throughout your time in growing together. And you learn to work together through things. You learn when not to speak. You know, maybe in the beginning I spoke too much and too quickly and wanted my way. But then after a while you realize, okay, this isn't getting me anywhere. This is getting us into disagreements and fights. So, okay, yeah. Let's step back for a minute and let's think about this and see where this goes and take some time. And it is a learning and growing process throughout the time. So don't give up. I mean, you can be in some of the worst fights or situations that you thought, I don't know how I can make it through this. But if you just stick with it, you learn a lot through those hard times. And in the end, you say, wow, we made it through. And now, you know, we can conquer more. We can get through more because we've already been, you know, in difficult places and we've managed to get through.
Definitely. And I think that would be great to touch on because you said how some people think maybe in the beginning it's not what they had once thought it would be. You know, let's say a woman listening has been mostly single all her life, and let's say she's just now starting to date, but it's not really what she had expected, because we draw up these things in our minds, we watch all these rom-coms, you know, we yes. hear about other relationships, so we start to compare just by default. So let's talk about those kind of unrealistic expectations in dating and even marriage, because I think this is maybe one of them of, okay, we're going to be prayer warriors together, but maybe you will be, but maybe not in the first few months, you know,
first 10 years.
Yeah, literally.
I think number one is leaning on the Lord, but getting back to the, ideals. Before you get married, every woman has ideals of how it's going to be. And then when you get married, you move in together. And then all of a sudden you realize, wow, we're two different people and we have different habits and thinking, and maybe different times we like to go to bed or different schedules of things. And it's really learning how to work those together and be supportive of one another in our differences and realize, okay, look at our strengths. Why did you choose him in the first place, and look at those strengths and keep those in the forefront. You know, you were right. Our society paints a different picture, but I feel like if you're both willing to work it out and you have God in the mix, then he's going to help you work it out and work through those situations that you have.
Definitely. I think that's good. Yeah. Are there any, let me go back to my outline.
Okay. I mean, I hope I answered that enough.
Yeah. I think that was good. Let's see.
There is something else I want to say too, about when a woman is, I would say she's the manager of her home. So she's the one that's making sure things are falling into place. You're the manager of your own home and your household. And so the things that you want to do are supporting your husband, your children, your families. But also I think that an important thing is don't forget to take time for yourself. And I'm not talking about a selfish way of everything should revolve around you and the things that you want. But when you can get lost in taking care of the rest of your family, and if you don't take a moment to have your private time with the Lord, or just your own time of, say, going for a walk or your exercise, or just some of the things that you value, once in a while out with your girlfriends for coffee, or just some of the things that you enjoy doing, I think you need to take time to do those too, because I think if you're giving without refilling yourself, then you could get really crabby, you could get burnt out, and you could really lose yourself in that process. So I think it's important to just take time to be happy. There's been a couple times, you know, when my children were more grown and they were more active on their own. They still lived in the home. My husband had his job, and I was a little bit at a loss for, okay, well, what am I going to do now? You know, I had my real estate, but that wasn't top priority. And so what ended up happening, I decided to take time out for myself, and I ended up writing a children's book. Mm-hmm. So just doing some of the things that you love that satisfy you as well, I think that's important to take that time, because then you're happy and fulfilled. And I think, you know, going back to that, thinking of what you look for in a marriage before you get married, you know, there was that saying, oh, you complete me, from the movie Jerry Maguire. And it's not true. The Lord completes us, and we need to be happy with ourselves first. And then our spouse sees that in us, and then they're more apt to be drawn to that, because you're happy and fulfilled within yourself. So you're happy and fulfilled from the Lord because of your relationship with him, and then the other things that you enjoy doing as well. And that shouldn't overpower, you know, your life and your family, your children and your husband, but something on the side that you enjoy doing.
Definitely. I think that's actually perfect into saying, so often we kind of focus on praying for our future husband and praying for their qualities, praying for the Lord to make him ready. But there's so much, I think, of a lost message of, okay, well, we need to do that for ourselves also. Pray for ourselves, pray for our qualities, and to be the wife the Lord has called us to be. So I think there should be a higher emphasis, both exactly equally important. You want to pray for your future husband, but it's also praying for yourself to be that wife that your husband is looking for.
Right. And before you get married, if you're taking the time to be the best that you can be, that's going to be desirable to a husband. And, you know, in the beginning of Proverbs 31, it was King Lemuel's mother that actually told him these things, what to look for in a wife. She taught him what to look for. And these kind of thing should be our aspirations ahead of time. So before we get into that relationship, we're working on ourselves. We're working on our relationship with the Lord and being all that He wants us to be first. Because if we're that, the Lord is going to direct us to who He has set apart for us and who He has us to be in relationship with. When we're happy with ourselves, our spouse can be happy with us. No man wants to come to a woman and have to build her up and constantly pick her up off the floor because she is so insecure on who she is that he's constantly having to lift her up. That's exhausting. So we have to be confident in ourselves and who we are and who God created us to be. And then that's more desirable to, you know, the men in our lives and who God wants us to be with.
Definitely. I'm just going through the outline again.
Okay.
Okay. So I want to go towards like kind of, I don't know if these would even be considered like tips, but this is just something that I've noticed is how I see you and again, other women I look up to within the church who are wives and mothers. And I can't help but notice that you all women have just this light and this drive. And it's like, you all are, like I said, are wives and mothers of not just one child, like multiple children. Mm-hmm. Most of you have your own businesses, like, or just strong work ethic. It's just like all these wonderful things. And it's just, it's so evident, but at the same time, it's so evident that there's so much joy to do all of those things. And I don't know, I had briefly talked about it in a conversation in a previous episode, but I'm curious to bring that up to you because I can only imagine like that true joy comes from spending time with the Lord and He inspires you to do all those things. So what's your take on that in just in serving not only your household, but your community as well. And even other people, like even you have time for like mentoring others and like just all those things, like that takes a lot of energy. So how do you make sure you still have enough to give out to others?
Well, there are definitely seasons, and the Bible talks about that too. There are seasons of your life where you have different time for different things. And I think that we need to be cognizant of that as newly married, you know, there's a season of trying to figure it out with your spouse and trying to financially make sure you're stable together and how that's going to work and talking about children. And then when children come, that is also a different season. You don't have a lot of time for mentoring others and working through that because really you're just trying to get through the day because you didn't have any sleep the night before. And, yeah. You know, working out the things with children because they don't come with a guidebook on how to raise them, you know, so you have to really trust in the Lord. So I would say it is a different season of my life now where I do have more time for mentorship. Mm-hmm. But it's really looking back on how the Lord has worked in my life throughout all the different seasons and what He has brought me through. I can just look back at different times where I've literally seen the Lord put His hand in my life to maybe change a course or, you know, change an outcome of something because I've prayed, because I've kept in relationship with Him. It's really an intimacy with Him that helps me through. So I would say that's the number one tip is staying intimate with the Lord and asking Him all along the way, instead of running to our best friend first to ask for advice, go to the Lord for advice. Instead of bringing a problem or an issue to our spouse first and maybe sounding complaining, that we would go to the Lord first and say, hey, I'm having issue with this or problems with this. You need to direct me and guide me. And I can't tell you how many times I would be just in my daily reading, an answer to that issue would come up through the Word. So I think that is the first thing that we really need to rely on is the Word and our relationship with the Lord and getting us through these different seasons in our life. And I think that's where the joy comes from, because when you know you've seen problems come up in the past and he's brought you through them, and then you realize, oh, you know, I can handle more now. It's all a learning season, really, from the beginning to the end of our life. It's all learning, and watching the Lord work through it all is where you start to build faith and trust in him and realize, oh, you did it over here. Okay, I know you can do it again. And as a matter of fact, someone recently gave us a prophecy that they received from the Lord about us. And we were selling a property that we had, and it was, you know, just getting ready to go on the market. And we've been in real estate forever. My husband's a custom home builder. And this person said, hey, I was praying about you and the Lord gave me something for you. And we said, okay, what is that? And he said, the Lord said, I did it before, I can do it again. Same God now as same God back then. So we realized, okay, here's this big property that we have to sell, this big situation that doesn't look like it's, you know, going to go through, and in our strength, it can't. But that happened to us before, and God brought us through this really rough situation. And he reminded us, and he said, remember, I brought you through that before. Do you still trust me? And so it was something that calmed me immediately. And I said, great, I'm going to trust the Lord. We don't even have to worry about it. And this property sold miraculously in 4 days.
Wow.
And it's kind of a miraculous story how it happened. The people were just in town for 3 days. The home happened to go on the market at that time. There's a plethora of homes on the market in that price range. They're from out of state. They happened to see ours, and wow, they purchased it, and we sold it in 4 days. And it was just such a seamless process. But the Lord said, remember, I've brought you through this before. I've been there with you before. Do you still trust me? And so that's what I'm talking about, this relationship with your spouse. If you're doing your part and being all that you can be in your relationship with the Lord, your spouse can rely on that. You can rely on him. You can support him. And then the Lord brings you through this life that you have together, the ups and downs. And then you can look back and say, oh yeah, he brought us through that. And he brought us through that. And we stuck together through that. And we supported each other through this and that. And look, here we are today. And, you know, we're still together and we can handle whatever comes our way.
That is so cool. And such a good reminder of, because that story could translate to anything. It could be for someone looking for a job, or someone who feel like they have been waiting for that relationship for almost forever, it could feel like. But it's, so whatever it is for you listening, like, it's still just knowing. And I know it feels easier said than done, because like, I'm in that just for something else. Uh-huh. And it was a relationship. Now I have that. And now like, I can see that. So I'm trying to use that same testimony of like, okay, when I was single, I prayed for this, and now the Lord has blessed me with it. Right. So, you know, and we're always going to have something else, right? So right. It's just such an encouraging word to hear, okay, he is the same God back then as he is now.
That's right. That's right. Yes. He leads us all along the way.
We'll be closing out in after this question. What do you wish you knew before entering marriage and motherhood?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess I didn't realize how much I would be leaning on the Lord. I thought I might have known how it was going to go. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a lot of fun. It's not always hard times. I mean, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of closeness and friendship building with my spouse and my children. but I guess I didn't know what I didn't know, really. I think a lot of women get into that situation. They don't know, and every relationship's going to be different. But, and I think because of my parents stayed together, I realized, okay, there could be hard times that come and you just have to stick through it no matter what. But, I guess I didn't know back then just some of the trials that would come. There's no way to predict what they are, you know, in raising children, it's not always that easy. We live in a society that is anti-family these days. They're anti-children and anti-sexual identity of what you're created to be. There's just so many things that come against the family these days. And, you know, maybe I didn't realize that in the beginning. And that's something that I would just encourage our listeners to press into is don't follow the world. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses and the most popular things that other families are doing or what the kids are learning in school or from the neighborhood kids or even, you know, close friends sometimes raise their children differently. But what I would say is we don't look like the rest of the world. Even sometimes maybe a little odd to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I guess I wish I knew right from the beginning, is how that was going to be a little bit more difficult to raise our family in this godly way. And I would say, you know, try to find other families and church friends and other believers that have the same beliefs as you do, because it's not that easy to raise a family in the culture that we have today, especially, you know, with the godly beliefs and the things that you want them to know and learn from the Lord and, you know, to be godly children and know the Lord. So
definitely. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much, Dawn. This was just wonderful. And of course, I'm going to ask if you can close in prayer.
Yes, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had together. We just thank you for highlighting the different things that you have for us in your word. And we ask that you'll give each one on this call wisdom, how to navigate their own circumstances, whether it be before marriage, during marriage, and raising families. Lord, we just ask for your guidance to each one of us. Help us stay in your word and follow you for all the days of our lives. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That concludes today's episode on GGTL. I hope you learned just as much as I did through today's conversation. And if there are any topics you want covered for the season of life that you may be in, please feel free to send me a message and we'll cover that. I want you to think of this show as our show, and we are in this together. I want us to be friends, I mean that. And if you want to follow me on my journey, go ahead and follow me on Instagram. The tags will all be in the show notes. Be sure to subscribe to the show so that's way you are up to date with all of our conversations and guests. And with that being said, I'll talk to you in the next one. Take care.